Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four diverse, delightful, and dynamic players of this game. A real dream team who are going to show their skill and dexterity with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four bright sparks are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Tony Hawks, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. Will you please welcome all four of them? And seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we are going to begin the show this week with Tony Hawks. Tony, oh, what an interesting subject. How to tell if someone is older than they look. 60 seconds available, and you start now.
Usually people are pretty rubbish at looking youthful. They try too hard. Jet black hair, ponytails, unfeasibly trendy clothes. Rock stars do this, refuse to grow old with grace. And these are the telltale signs to spot that someone is older than they look. It's not a skill you really need in life. A bouncer at a nightclub might need to be able to do this.
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of need?
Yes, you need, you don't really need these.
True.
And the bouncer might need them. Right, 33 seconds are still available. Sue, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, and it's how to tell if someone is older than they look. And you start now.
Shake them vigorously, and if their ears fall off, they are older than they look. Also, you can anecdotalise about the war. Anyone, it doesn't matter. All conflicts that take place between 1850 and 1920. If they remember them, they are older than they look. It's a lovely thing to grow old and age gracefully, and yet in modern society, it's always something we try and run away from. Youth is the only thing that one must cling to. And for some reason, we all hold to this principle. What's wrong with seeing the years go by?
Whoever's speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Sue Perkins, and she's the only one to have scored at the end of the round. Graham, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is cupboard love. Tell us something about this subject in this game, starting now.
I am confronted by cupboard love every morning when I meet my dogs, Bailey and Madge. For a few moments, they pretend to like me. Then I feed them, and they forget all about me for the rest of the day. Bailey, in particular, thanks for asking.
Right. Tony, you challenge.
Yes, unfortunately, he told us the name of his dog twice, Bailey.
And yes, that's right.
So and the poor dog now is looking at the radio going, what?
Tony, correct challenge, a point to you. Cupboard love is the subject. 44 seconds available, starting now.
I have been in love with several cupboards over the years. The one under the stairs, how alluring and beautiful it was with its lovely veneer. It would catch my eye.
Still a challenge.
Hesitation.
Ed would catch my eye.
A slight stumble, but not enough, I think, to interpret as hesitation, Sue. So the benefit of the doubt, and if I can get a chance to...
I hope so, Nicholas.
Balance it by giving you a benefit. And
12 years I've been doing the show, I do hope so.
34 seconds, Tony. Cupboard love, starting now.
It's often used as an expression meaning that people aren't really sincere about their love. I believe it was a cat that did it originally, sitting by the cupboard, looking longingly, knowing that there was food within. And now we humans, cleverly, have taken this little moment of pet life and we use it in our own in order to express ourselves in meaning to other people. I haven't finished. Oh. With whom...
At times, it sounded like he was going to say something, but it's just endless nonsense of not pinning it down to it. As human beings, we should be discovering just...
I was not struggling. I could have gone for hours.
Yes. That was the chief reason why I buzzed.
So, Paul, correct challenge. 10 seconds available. Cupboard love, starting now.
I remember the day I first came out of the closet. That was really what you understand by cupboard love when I was growing up as a small boy. I said to my parents, I am...
Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle. When gained the extra point, he's equal with Sue in the second place. Tony Hawkes is in the lead. And, Paul, we'd like you to start the next round. The subject, sliced bread. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, people say it's the best thing since sliced bread. I don't know if that's such a good invention that we should compare everything else to this moment in human history when we no longer had a full loaf that we bought from the bakers, but in fact, we could get one that was sliced. Imagine the man hours, or indeed woman 60 minutes, that was saved by the fact that you don't have to get hold of the sharpest blade you can find, or indeed cut into the crusty exterior because somebody in a factory in Tokyo does it for nothing. It's all been produced in Japan. The bread we eat today hasn't seen British wheat since 1948. And I want you to help me to march on 10 Downing Street with this nonsense at our head.
Tony, you challenge.
Security.
Tony, we enjoyed the interruption. We give you a bonus point for the humours you supplied, but I don't think Paul was actually...
Can I go for deviation or not?
Well, you said it's something else then.
Well, I just said one word. I thought I might be able to go on.
All right, well, what's the challenge?
Well, I don't think all the bread we eat is made in Tokyo.
I would agree with you.
I see what you mean, Tony.
Yes. I knew there was something about that statement that was a bit wrong.
Oh, right, because it might be steak.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed nobody challenged sooner.
Yeah. Well, it was funny.
The bats come from Taiwan.
Now, that just displays the generosity of the other players in this game. Paul was going so well and we loved it so much, they let him carry on with that fiction about our bread being made in Tokyo. So, Tony, correct challenge. 15 seconds. Sliced bread, starting now.
I believe that sliced bread might have been introduced as a conservation method, making people eat less bread because it was sliced. I know they're a very learned panel, and if this is wrong, they will surely correct...
Graham challenge.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
You haven't got a challenge, in other words.
It's wrong.
No, he said
yes,
it's wrong.
Oh, wrong, yes.
Yeah, it's deviation.
Whoa, I didn't say it was wrong.
Well, we're a learned panel.
If the panel thought it was wrong,
it is wrong.
We'd buzz in and stop you, and we did. Yeah,
so what is your challenge?
But you've still got to
have a challenge. But he deviated. He was talking wrong. That isn't why they introduced sliced bread.
No,
it's a conservation method.
What do you mean it isn't? I think it is. There's probably one very learned person here that will have the courage to stand up and say Tony Hawkes is right and he deserves justice.
And it doesn't matter if you've been sectioned under the Mental Health Act. It's not an issue here.
Is anybody going to volunteer?
Really, you're taking the word of that man.
The strangled cries of a Tokyo baker.
Well, I think he's the one who's been sectioned. Right. So, an incorrect challenge, Tony. Mm. Keep the subject. You have 3 seconds. Sliced bread, starting now.
I have my own slicer at home. There's nothing I like more than to line...
So, Tony Hawkes is speaking then as the whistle. When gained the extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round. And actually, Tony, we're with you to start. And the subject now is on your uppers. So will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
During the war, when there was conservation and people were short of bread and used to slice it up, they were on their uppers, you could argue. And the expression, I believe, comes from some...
Paul challenge.
You don't really mean conservation, you mean rationing.
Did I say conservation?
Yes, conservation. There was conservation during the war.
Yeah.
We weren't deliberately saving bread. We... In case the Germans got hold of it, you know.
No, I think that's a good challenge.
Yeah, so do I.
Yes.
The English Bread Heritage Committee. Yeah.
49 seconds on your uppers, Paul, with you starting now.
On your uppers.
Sue challenge.
Presentation.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. He couldn't get going. 48 seconds, Sue. On your uppers, starting now.
You're down on your luck when you're on your uppers, and everyone knows what it's like to be in that situation. Just outside, as people were filing in, I was playing the flute for food, because, frankly, BBC rules have changed, and we're all entitled to upwards of £3.50 per day that we spend working on Just a Minute. On your uppers is a phrase I believe, and I say this with as much authority as Tony Hawk does on sliced bread, that comes from round about the 1920s, the halcyon days of making up expressions that don't really have any meaning, and you certainly can't quantify when forced to in a panel environment. When I say I'm on my uppers, I mean that potentially I'm talking about something about which I know nothing whatsoever, but I will carry on relentlessly, because I've got pluck and spirit, despite the fact I am on my uppers. It doesn't matter, I hear you cry, how much she goes on and...
Well, Sue Perkins was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's just 2 points behind Tony Hawks, who's still our leader. And, Sue, we're back with you to begin. And the subject now is first nights. Can you take the subject any way you like. First nights, starting now.
A first night is a pressure cooker environment for an actor, that rarefied mammal who works upwards of 3 hours a week. It is an exhausting profession, as we all know. You build towards the first night. You have rehearsed for 3 or 4 days with men and women you cannot stand in a play that is absolutely impenetrable and pointless. You perform it for the first time in front of a crowd who are waiting nervously, thinking they've come to see cats. And where are the people with whiskers? Instead, they are fixing the Sprechtian spectacle. But you wait, because after the first night come the reviews, and actors say, I don't care.
James Challenge.
Representative actors, I'd say.
Yeah. Yes, and you had the actors before.
I don't.
I didn't drown a kitten, I just buzzed in.
Anyway, Graham, great challenge. First nights with you, 16 seconds, starting now.
The worst thing about first nights is when you have to go backstage and meet the people who performed. What the hell do you say to them? Because really...
Paul Challenge.
Well, you did it again.
Wonderful what isn't say. The word.
My favourite word is, what about you?
Yeah.
I had one monster that was just, hey... went on for ages. That was it. Just the word hey.
Yeah. Or, oh, it is a hard part, isn't it? Nice costume. Yeah.
Somebody came backstage once and said, I did love the music in the interval.
And that was Queen Victoria.
Paul Merton getting another of his cheap laughs at my expense, but he says it with such affection. Where are we? Who challenged you? Let's get back to Just a Minute.
I said the thing when he was saying you don't know what to say, and I said, well, what about you?
Not about you. Give him a bonus point. Right. You were interrupted.
I was interrupted.
7 seconds, first night, starting now.
The good thing about first nights is...
Tony Challenge.
Well, we had the worst thing and then the best and the good thing.
Yeah, so that's why it's not repetition.
It is. It's
I'm saying a different thing.
No,
it's
thing.
The thing.
The thing
was the
curses.
Thing.
Yeah, yes, repetition of
now
thing.
Now you know what it feels like, Graham.
Tony, correct challenge. A point to you and first nights and 5 seconds available starting now.
You have to get the correct euphemism when you burst into the changing rooms. My God.
You challenge.
This deviation is dressing rooms, not changing rooms.
Yeah.
And you're
going backstage into the changing room.
Yeah. You don't put your foot in the foot spa.
Dressing rooms.
And you did get in just before the whistle. So that is a correct challenge. So we give you a point for a correct challenge. And the subject. And you've got quarter of a minute.
Quarter of a minute.
On the first night, starting now.
No!
Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point with others in the round. Tony Hawks is in the lead, 1 point ahead of Paul Merton, then Sue Perkins and Graham Norton in that order. And Graham, we're back with you. London Bridge. Tell us something about that famous bridge in this game, starting now.
Although London Bridge does its job of joining the North Bank to the South Bank of the River... South Bank, all one word?
Yes.
I've seen it written down. It's all one word.
That's only when you work there. And you were making it quite clear the South Bank is the different banks. So, Sue, you got in there first. 53 seconds. London Bridge starting now.
London Bridge is falling down, goes the famous nursery rhyme, and indeed the actual architectural state of the structure itself. But who cares? It's never going to get fixed. As long as you can do the walkie thing over it without it falling down around you, then no one's really going to care.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of falling down.
Falling down.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Sue. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, bitter.
Whatever, Graham, whatever. Right. It's a long round.
Tony, correct challenge, 40 seconds. London Bridge, starting now.
London Bridge is my favourite underground station because it's on the Northern Line, which is particularly enjoyable, and it's black in...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of which? Which is my favourite line.
Which is my favourite line, which is particularly enjoyable. So, repetition. Mm. A tough one, but correct. So, Sue, 32 seconds. London Bridge, starting now.
I also love the Northern Line.
Graham Challenge.
Repetition.
Why?
Also. The repetition is implied.
Graham deserves a bonus point for that. He made his point, but it wasn't correct within the rules of just a minute. So, Sue, you still have London Bridge, and you have 30 seconds starting now.
It's a fantastic station. Now, of course, connecting the city and its many bustling commuters. I don't go there very often, which is why when I'm painting the picture to you, you'll find it scanned in detail, but let me evoke the smell, which I am familiar with. Imagine a tramp festering in a bin liner.
Tony Towns.
Well, first of all, these are all the things that I was going to say about them. But, still, it was rather nicked from me, I felt. Hesitation.
There was a little hesitation when you got
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Tony, correct challenge. And there are 13 seconds available. London Bridge starting now.
It goes from the north bank to the south side of the river. And how we love to stroll across it on a Sunday afternoon, perhaps earlier in the week, if we don't have a proper job and we just mill around.
So Tony Hawkes was then speaking as the whistle went, and he's now increased his lead at the end of that round. And it's Sue Perkins, Paul Merton and Graham Norton in that order. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject now is sugar coating. Tell us something about sugar coating in this game, starting now.
Sugar coating is a process by which you coat something with sugar, making it much sweeter than it otherwise would be. I think we all remember that song from Mary Poppins, Just a Spoon Full of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down. And as I was saying the other day to the Archbishop, you know, it's wonderful that we as people can look towards each other and say, I think you're beautiful. I sugarcoat my relationship with you. I take away the harsh things you might imagine I would say. Instead, I give you a lovely high calorific intake, no doubt, but a superb view of what I really think of you as a human being. You smile. You're beautiful tap dancing.
It's only a chance.
A repetition of beautiful.
Yes, there was. There was, yes. There were some groans in the audience then. Because they wanted Paul to go
they
on.
They wanted more of that magnificently informative stock.
Yeah. So good job you were here, then.
Yes, the sad thing about this game, everybody enjoyed it so much, and I can't give you bonus points for going so well and so far.
I think I was lulling them into a coma.
Yes,
you were sugarcoating them into a coma.
Yes.
You sugarcoated the audience, right.
A diabetic coma.
15 seconds available. Sugarcoating starting now.
A donut without any sugarcoating is not one that will really please you to the fullness of its capability.
Paul Chan.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what a donut's full capability of pleasing me is. Outside of being a donut, what, he could negotiate a nice house sale for me somewhere, or organise a holiday for two in the Algarve. I don't know what to expect from a donut. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. Do you know what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm saying. No. That was your job.
No.
Deviation.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that... I don't know.
I think he was going into the realms of the surreal, and we give him the benefit of the doubt on that occasion. 8 seconds, sugarcoating, still with you, Tony, starting now.
As Paul pointed out correctly in his speech earlier on, which I enjoy very much, by the way, sugarcoating is all...
Paul Chan.
Plagiarism.
He's doing my material. Wait till I've left the room. He's doing it now.
No, he isn't.
Repetition of what I said.
He hasn't.
And it wasn't worth saying the first time, so.
He hasn't repeated anything yet.
Hasn't he?
I think he was about to, but he hasn't yet.
Oh, okay.
So, Tony, another interruption, another point. 3 seconds on sugar coating starting now.
Cakes have sugar coating and they are very pleasant.
Extra point has increased his lead at the end of that round, and strange enough, when often people speak a lot, they've come round to them to start the next round. And so, Tony, it's with you once more to begin. And the subject now is falling off a log. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Falling off a log ought to be an easy thing to do, and yet several years ago, a group of scouts nailed me to a log and pushed me down river, and I could not get off for 15 minutes or so. A great anecdote, which I wish I hadn't really bothered to tell you. However, I am going to say...
hesitation.
No, I don't think so. I think he was quite definite there. Yeah. So, Pony, another point
pony.
To you. Pony, yes.
It's Cockney rhyming slang, don't worry.
Falling off a log, but still you, Tony. 43 seconds starting now.
Simple as falling off a log, talking for 1 minute without deviating, hesitating or repetitioning.
Deviation from the word, which we made a word.
Yeah, I mean, repetitioning isn't
yes,
exactly
it is.
A,
nope. Repetition in...
So, all right, benefit of the doubt to you, Sue. 36 seconds, falling off a log, starting now.
Indeed, it is hard. Harder than falling off a log to talk on this subject for however many seconds I have left. One would think that simply to fall off anything, you just give yourself to the elements. And yet the natural will to survive is there. And so you keep on going. Why would you perchance just want to slip off a surface when you could stay on it? Much better to be sure-footed and safe than throw yourself into the abyss for no good reason. I don't know where the expression comes from, and that's a running motif with many of the things that I've taken and run with this evening, but it won't stop me, not for one single second. I have never been nailed to a log by scouts, and yet were I to be...
Paul Chan.
Well, this is deviation now, because we're talking about nailing to a log, but it's about falling off a log, isn't it?
That's right. You're talking about nailing to a log. It's falling off a log. I think you've taken the subject off into realms of deviation. So the benefit of the doubt to Paul. You had the benefit last time. Paul gets it this time. You've got him 2 seconds to go, Paul, on falling off a log, starting now.
Falling off a dog is much easier.
So Paul Martin was then speaker of the Whistle Wen Gain. The next point is our equalist Sue Perkins in second place. Out in the lead is still Tony Hawkes as we go into the final round with Graham Norton to begin. And the subject is digging. Tell us something about digging in this game, starting now.
Long story short, I love digging. Nothing gives me more pleasure than digging. Even the sound of the word in my mouth gives me pleasure. Digging.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of gives me. It's two
nothing
words.
Gives me more pleasure, yeah. Nothing gives
giving,
me...
Giving, gives give me, me, gives me.
Yeah, Sue right. Perkins, a correct challenge. 49 seconds. Tell us something about digging, Sue, starting now.
You may love digging, Graham, but nobody loves digging more than I do.
No, you said love and loves. So yes. I was going to say repetition, but I'm
no,
sorry.
No. Yes, you were... Sue, incorrect challenge. 45 seconds, digging, starting now.
Winter in the garden, spade in hand, slicing it through the damp soil. There's nothing more important. If you bisect a worm on the way, it's tragic, but you get over it.
Tony, challenge.
I think Paul and I could start to list the things that are more important. She said there's nothing more important. Well, I think food on the table for your family.
If you're a big digger fan, no. Not,
it's,
not
you know, to say that there's nothing more important than slicing earth with a spade. It well, demeans my whole life.
That was my intention.
I mean, you made your point, but it wasn't correct within the rules of just a minute. So, digging is still with you, Sue. 34 seconds, starting now.
For people who don't like digging, you can have a no-dig garden. This particularly is important for those who are late...
Paul Challenge.
Did we have garden before?
Yes, nothing like getting the garden
and
with a spade, putting it in.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, Paul, correct challenge. Now we're going to hear from that side. But you're not working as a team, remember?
No.
You're a lone wolf.
Yes. 29 seconds, Paul. Digging, starting now.
The Great Escape. Those people who saw the film or indeed were at the camp will never forget the experience. Tom
Dick and Harry, three tunnels were dug by the Allied prisoners underneath the Germans' noses. Not exactly, because that would be the moustache, but they were under the ground, I wonder.
Tony Challenge.
Yeah, repetition of under.
Repetition of under, yes. Yeah, underground, underground. No, what? Underground's all one word.
Yes.
Underground.
Yes.
Yeah, wombling
free.
Tom, Dick and Harry.
So they were under, under the noses, but underground is one word. So, Paul, an incorrect challenge. 12 seconds still on digging, starting now.
During the English Civil War, there were many political groups that sprang up, and one...
Graham, challenge.
Repetition of war.
Ooh. Oh, yes, you talked about the war and the prisoners of war.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes. Ooh, so you repeated war. Well, listen, Graham. 8 seconds on digging starting now.
Digging is brilliant. Oh, the feel of the soil in your hands. Because I assume...
Sue, challenge.
Digging with his hands.
Yes. I was just going on that I eschew a shovel or spade.
You eschew?
That's how much I like my digging.
Wow. You know, rarely do I come across someone who likes digging more than me. You know what? I'm backing right out of this now. It's a pleasure to listen to you. Right now.
No, actually, Sue, if you're a keen gardener, as I am, I mean, you dig with a spade normally, but you often dig down with your hand.
Oh, it's so true, is it?
Yes. And you put a little tiny thing in.
Oh, it's
yes, that's right. If it's soft, nice, soft.
It's like a rooster, the way you did that.
I hate digging. Can't stand it.
What about the audience? Do you hate digging or love it? There you are. They're
love
all
it.
Good.
Love it.
Right. Graham, incorrect challenge. Oh, you've still got 1 second to go on digging starting now.
Digging is truly the...
So let me give you the final situation. Graham Norton, on this occasion he's finished up in fourth place, but only just behind Paul Merton and only just a little bit further behind Sue Perkins. But out in the lead was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so elegantly. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are, of course, indebted to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre who've been absolutely magnificent. We've enjoyed ourselves. We hope you've enjoyed yourselves. And we particularly hope the listeners have enjoyed themselves. And if they have, tune in again the same time next week and listen to Just a Minute.